Now it's Food Friday. We're going to get some recipes like usual and cooking advice, plus a way for cooks to help with climate change. 2 weeks ago, UW-Madison climate researcher Dan Vimont was on the show. He shared some ways for people to help fight climate change. He mentioned a climate solutions nonprofit called Project Drawdown, and according to them, reducing food waste is the most impactful solution toward addressing climate change. Well, if you spend any time in a kitchen, you're probably pretty well acquainted with food waste. Our next guests are chefs and sisters who have tackled this issue head on. They've got lots of advice and recipes for us to reduce waste ourselves down to zero if we want to go for that, and make some great food along the way. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you run into this pretty often in your own fridge, say? You end up having to throw away a lot more than you want to? What does it look like in your kitchen? Do you overbuy herbs or greens or whatever? Do you have some advice you follow to reduce food waste? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Irene Lee is a 2022 James Beard Leadership Award winner and lives in Boston supporting the May May Dumplings team. And May Lee is the founder of Food Waste Feast, an online project to help home cooks quit wasting food, and lives in Glasgow, Scotland. They're co-authors of the cookbook Double Awesome Chinese Food. Their newest cookbook is called Perfectly Good Food, a totally achievable zero-waste approach to home cooking. Irene and May, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having us.
We're very excited to be here. Thank you.
Irene, let's start with you. You both actually have a lot of experience in the restaurant business. Can you talk about your experience there? I assume just for pure reasons of the bottom line, you got to watch out for food waste, right?
That's right. You know, when you cook in a professional kitchen, it's your job to not waste food. The ingredients are your raw materials, and so that's your money going in the trash. But you know, at home, most of us have other full-time jobs. And so saving our food, making sure it doesn't end up getting wasted, that can kind of fall by the wayside.
And May, why have you taken on reducing food waste as close to zero as possible?
So when I wrote our first cookbook, I kind of realized how a lot of recipes make it difficult for home cooks to use up what they have. They might ask you to go out and buy some new ingredients, and you might pick up something like you need a tablespoon of parsley. So you head out and you buy a whole bunch, and then you don't know what to do with that parsley. You've got a bunch minus one tablespoon of parsley. So how do you use up the rest of those things? I wanted to figure out a way for home cooks to be as efficient as possible and stop putting so much food waste in the landfill. As it sounds like your previous guest mentioned, food waste in the landfill creates methane, which is a really potent greenhouse gas, and it's really bad for the environment. And also all of that, the raw materials and the natural resources that go into producing that food, all that gets wasted when your food goes into the trash.
All right. One of the ideas in the book, I don't know who gets credit for this one. I can't believe I never thought of this. The Eat Me First box. Where did that come from?
That's definitely an Irene one. I'll let her take that.
Sure. So when we first got into our restaurant and we had a walk-in refrigerator, we knew that we had to do an even better job keeping track of all of our ingredients. In a walk-in, stuff can get lost really easily. So we decided to designate an Eat Me First box. You could also call that Use First if you were in a restaurant. And that's where we put anything that is high priority to get rid of or use up. So it might be something that's nearing its best by date. It might be like half a tomato or a slice of lemon, sort of the odds and ends that if you don't pay attention to them, they might get lost and end up getting wasted. So we love implementing that at home. I definitely have had moments where there are several moldy half lemons in the back corners of my refrigerator. So if we can do a better job keeping track of what needs to go, what needs to be prioritized, keeping that box at eye level, making sure it's labeled, don't let that migrate to the back of the fridge, that can help a lot.
And May, one key to the book, when we're talking about produce, our fruits and vegetables, is, okay, this doesn't look so beautiful that I just want to eat this raw right out of the fridge, but that doesn't mean it's dead yet, right? Could you talk about trying to find ways for that in between produce?
That is totally true. So there might be a fruit that's not perfect to eat raw, but you could make that into jam, or you could cook it into a cake, or you could blend it into a smoothie. And the same goes for vegetables. You know, you might have this tomato that is not going to be the most delicious BLT, but it will make a perfectly good tomato sauce. or could become gazpacho. Again, blending is really useful if the texture isn't perfect. And so there's so many ways to make sure that your produce that you spent good money on is getting eaten, even if it's not, you know, perfect salad quality. If you're going to cook it and kind of change up the texture, then you can have really delicious meals with that stuff that just doesn't look good.
We're talking to May Lee and Irene Lee about their new book. It's called Perfectly Good Food, a totally achievable zero-waste approach to home cooking. You can join this Food Friday conversation. Have you found ways to cut back on food waste? Or is there something that always gets you? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Irene, a big part of the book is hero recipes, these recipes that are flexible and they can work in a bunch of our different kinds of food that will otherwise go to waste. Can you talk about the philosophy behind these hero recipes?
Yeah, we like to call them hero recipes. I call them superhero recipes because they help you rescue food, all your odds and ends that you might not have a home for. They're basically templates. So it might be a stir fry or a cream of anything soup. And if you understand generally how the recipe works, you can modify it to accommodate any number of ingredients. So maybe you had a delicious cheese and charcuterie board last night, and now you have half an ounce of five different cheeses. How are you going to use those? Well, you could look at a frittata or a soup or a fondue. These ideas are all about helping the home cook practice being flexible and just trying out whatever they happen to have on hand. And we always like to say, if the recipe doesn't come out so great, you just eat the evidence and you move on.
And we've got a few of these recipes at WPR.org/Central Time, these hero recipes. May, let's check one of them out. The How You Like It Savory Pancakes. Tell us a little bit about the recipe and how we can work some different ingredients on the way out into our cooking.
Yes. So this is one of my favorite recipes. It is based on the Japanese dish called okonomiyaki. And it's really interesting because it is actually kind of meant to be how you like it. And they are made in tons of different ways. You could have these savory pancakes with pork belly and squid, I believe is traditional, but you could also have it. I saw it once in a restaurant with a Thanksgiving special with turkey and cranberry sauce. So you can kind of put in whatever you can find in your fridge. You just use a similar base of cabbage, eggs, flour, and you're kind of making these delicious savory pancakes, but then you can toss in whatever you like. And it's so flexible and it makes it really easy to have this basic template that you make the same way every time, but a little part of it, you just switch it up based on what you need to use up.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Nancy is with us in Lac du Flambeau. Nancy, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Nancy?
Oh, thank you. Hey, ladies, I love your book, and I struggle with this because I don't like waste. And, I mean, I worked at Greenpeace for years and stuff like that. But what I'm trying to do now is to convince my neighbors to give me their waste because I have a dear good friend who runs her own farm, and apparently chickens eat food waste all the time. I had no idea. And so if you have any advice about how do I make it into a community thing? Or maybe add that to your book, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, what do you think of the idea of feeding the chickens?
Interesting, Nancy. That's a great use for the food. And I know, Irene, I believe both of you are big composters as well. Can you talk about other ways? Even if we humans don't end up eating the food, animals or microbes might.
Yeah. So thanks so much for the call, Nancy. We like to think about food waste reduction as kind of a pyramid. Ideally, we would be able to feed food that might get wasted to humans. If not to humans, then to animals, chickens like you do. That's awesome. And if not to animals, then at least we can compost it and retain some of the nutrients in the life cycle. We've also heard from folks while on our book tour that they and their friends might actually have like food waste or food rescue potlucks. So everybody takes some leftovers and repurposes them. And it's kind of a fun little theme for a meal. So I think there are lots of fun ways to get other folks involved in this effort. And, you know, at the end of your potluck, anything that doesn't get eaten, that can go into a bin for the chickens.
I think I'd rather go to a food rescue potluck than a food waste potluck. That sounds less
appetizing. You don't want to eat trash?
Nancy, thanks a lot for that call. Michael is with us now in Neenah. Michael, hi.
Hi. So I love the show. And I just wanted to say, as we're growing older, my wife and I are now alone, and it's hard for us to eat a whole package of like blueberries and strawberries. And they're such good deals right now. So what we do is, or what I do is I watch, and as they're starting to wilt a little bit, I'll cook them down into a compote. We had crepes this morning, blueberry crepes with topped with strawberries. It was really good.
That sounds fantastic, Michael. I'm right there with you, man. You know, going from having two teenagers in the house to having zero teenagers in the house makes me have to adapt what I buy and what I do with it. May, what do you think of Michael's? It sounds like he comes into that berry buying with that plan in place. Like, we're going to eat some. We're going to compote some. You know, you could freeze some, too. That kind of planning when we get the stuff in the first place.
Absolutely. That is so smart. Thank you for calling. And I love that idea. And, you know, fresh compote that you've made yourself is so delicious and you can kind of tailor it to your own tastes. I have two small children. And so I'm always saving little bits of fruit, especially when they decide they want one slice of apple and then they don't want the rest of it. And so I put all those little extra bits of fruit into a bag in my freezer. It's called the smoothie bag. And then when they want a smoothie, I will just pop all those little bits of frozen fruit into the blender, blend it up with whatever kind of juice I have or yogurt or ice cream, and then they drink it as a smoothie. And I have also been known to, when they don't finish their smoothie, I will pour the smoothie into a popsicle mold and then feed it to them as a popsicle. So I am making sure that they are eating that expensive fruit that I've bought for them.
Michael, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Irene and May Lee about their latest cookbook on Food Friday. The book is called Perfectly Good Food, a totally achievable zero-waste approach to home cooking. I had a plan when my kids were little and they didn't finish their food. It was called Dad Finishes Their Food. It had some non-sustainable long-term consequences, I'll say that. Hey, you could join in with your thoughts on food waste at 800-642-1234. Is there something you always have trouble finishing up? You need some inspiration, or have you found solutions you want to share? Join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with sisters and co-authors Irene and May Lee about their new cookbook. It's called Perfectly Good Food, a totally achievable zero-waste approach to home cooking. You can join in at 800-642-1234 and find a couple recipes from our guests at WPR.org/Central Time. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Amy is with us in Weston. Amy, hi.
Hi, I love this topic. I just want to say that that's how I sort of do my shopping list now. I'll go into the Pick and Save, the Kroger. I'll go into the produce area where they bundle up things for 99 cents. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to make baba ganoush with two eggplants for 99 cents. It's such a good deal. Otherwise, I know that would go in the trash. There's never a brown banana that goes in the trash here. It goes in the freezer. It can become part of a smoothie. There's just so many creative things that you can do without it going into the trash can.
Amy, thanks a lot for sharing both of those ideas. Irene, first of all, her idea, she looks for that produce that's going bad. They're selling off cheap and comes up with a plan based on that. What do you think of that philosophy?
I love that. It sounds like Amy's a real pro. And part of what we want to do with the book is encourage people to experiment, to be empowered to try out something that maybe they've never tried before, if they're inspired by what they see at the farmer's market or the grocery store. And the good news is that it also can be really budget friendly. So if you're able to buy seconds or B grade, you can make your dollar go a lot further.
Thanks for that call, Amy. And May, she also mentioned those bananas. Now, she'll freeze those bananas going off and use them as smoothies or in smoothies, which I also do. Also, coincidentally, one of the recipes you shared with us is the accidental best banana bread. Can you talk about your banana bread?
Yes, I really love this recipe, which is funny because it came out of a total kitchen accident. I was buying bananas at the supermarket and they came in one of those bags. I don't know if they're available everywhere, but it was a bag that had banana recipes printed all over it. And so I figured, hey, I'll try this banana recipe. And I was sort of haphazardly multitasking in the kitchen like I often do. And I left out an entire cup of white flour, which was like half the flour in the recipe. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be the best banana bread I've ever had. And I think it's, you know, it really brings out the banana flavor. It's not as bready. It's more like this kind of gooey banana cake. And I think it's fantastic. And it came out of a total accident. So, you know, back to experimenting in the kitchen, and sometimes not following a recipe perfectly can lead to some fun new surprises.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Irene and May Lee about their new book, Perfectly Good Food, A Totally Achievable Zero Waste Approach to Home Cooking. Still time for you to share your questions or food waste solutions at 800-642-1234. Find that accidental banana bread recipe online at WPR.org/Central Time. Irene, let's talk about expiration dates. We're a big dairy state here in Wisconsin. How by the book are we on those dates?
Well, expiration dates, as it turns out, are really just the manufacturer's idea of when a product is going to be at its best or at its freshest. And so they don't necessarily have anything to do with food safety. It's the manufacturer's way of encouraging you to use it up when it will be at its peak. So we really encourage eaters and cooks to use their senses when it comes to evaluating whether food is safe to eat. How does it smell? How does it feel? Is it slimy? Is it stinky? And, you know, even food that has technically perhaps soured or started to ferment in some cases can be safe to eat. Of course, if you're feeding kiddos or someone elderly or immunocompromised, you might want to be a little bit more careful. But the manufacturers really, they want you to enjoy the food as fast as possible and go out and buy more. So we want to say take those dates with a big grain of salt.
And May, can you talk about using that freezer as our caller did with her bananas? Any advice on what to freeze, how to freeze it?
Yes. So we love the freezer because we basically think of it as this magical time-stopping tool on your food. You can save food almost indefinitely with the freezer, but the quality will sort of start to degrade the longer it is in the freezer. So one big recommendation is to minimize as much air as possible in your freezer goods. So the air is what causes the freezer burn. And so if you can press out all the air from a bag or make sure to fill up to the top, liquids are an exception there. You want to leave some space at the top for them to expand. And the idea is that the freezer will just hold stuff indefinitely. And as long as your freezer hasn't lost power or something, it'll hold on to your food. But, you know, we know that it's sometimes easy to forget about something in the freezer. So we always encourage labeling and dating. So we personally like permanent markers and painter's tape. You can put it on your containers and say, you know, this is the beef soup I made in March, and then you don't mix it up for something like spiced apple cider 6 months later.
Irene, over the years here on Food Friday, I've gotten some like, green onions or scallions. You don't just use the white part, you can use the green part. Or Lydia Bastianich has me freezing my pasta water sometimes because you can use that in stocks and other things. Are there other examples where, hey, this is the thing you might not even have thought of as food, but you can actually do food stuff with it?
That's a great question. One of my favorite recipes in the book is our scrap chili oil. And so that really utilizes things that have a lot of flavor, but might not have the best texture. So think garlic peels or like the little butt ends of your garlic cloves, papery onion skins, ginger peels. These things are full of flavor. And when you pour hot oil over them, you get this incredibly aromatic, delicious, savory sauce that you can then drizzle on whatever you want.
And May, speaking of those bits that we don't always use, soup is my magic go-to. If it's edible, you know, something you'd want to eat, it ends up in my soup. I often call it fridge soup. And if you don't really want to eat it, like the stuff Irene was just talking about, I'll use it for making soup stock. Any thoughts on using soup as our magical cure-all for food waste?
100%. I'm with you. We have a recipe called cream of anything soup because we believe the same thing. You know, you can have this vegetable with lots of flavor, but maybe not the best texture, or you don't really know what else to do with it. You can toss it into a soup and you can make it delicious. And we're also all about making things into condiments. And then you can use your delicious condiments to drizzle on top of your soup. And then it feels fancy and new and adds extra to different textures. So yes, we're all about it.
Time for one more call. Laura is with us in Madison. Laura, hi.
Hi, Rob.
What'd you want to tell us about?
Well, I have a couple ideas that are good for cutting down on food waste. And the first one I know you're familiar with because you've had shows like this before, but cook once and eat two or three times. And then my second idea is, so when I make a meal and I have leftovers, I portion everything out right away after the meal for lunch size portions, and I put them in glass or clear plastic in the refrigerator so that my kids aren't standing in front of the refrigerator wondering what's in there because they can see it.
Laura, thanks a lot for those ideas. The planning there, Irene, is the key, I think. Like, she knows she's making it for this meal and the next meal or for signal servings for her kids. Leave us with some thoughts on that kind of meal planning to help avoid food waste.
Yeah, I love that approach. And I think another really important thing is glass or clear plastic. When things are out of sight, they end up out of mind. And that's how I think a lot of food ends up getting forgotten about in the fridge.
Laura, thanks for that call. And Irene and May, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
May and Irene Lee are co-authors of the new cookbook we've been talking about. It's called Perfectly Good Food, a totally achievable, zero-waste approach to home cooking. You can keep sharing your ideas on how to beat food waste, avoid food waste online. Go to the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. And then check out a few recipes, hero recipes from Irene and May. You can find those at WPR.org/centraltime.